Today is known especially in the Reformed churches as Reformation Sunday. It is a day set aside to remember the nailing of 95 theses by Martin Luther upon the church door at Wittenberg, Germany, on the 31st of October, 1517. We should, as God's servants, reaffirm where we stand concerning the Reformation and the teaching of the Word of God today. And I'd like to say these words on behalf of our church. The Free Presbyterian Church is unashamedly Protestant and evangelical. It is both Reformed in doctrine and ways of the denomination are separatists in our fellowship. In doing so, we oppose the false doctrines of the Church of Rome. We oppose the ecumenical and charismatic movements of today. Indeed, as a church, we will call upon God's people to continue the battle of the Reformation and to stand solely on the Word of God. We think of the wickedness, we think of the darkness that is sweeping our land. We need a people to be like Luther, to be like other reformers, and to say, here I stand, I can do none other. Now, at the beginning of the Reformation, Pope Leo X, he looked around the court at Rome. He saw it was falling down into great decay. So they came across this plan in order to raise money. And here's what they came up with. The selling of indulgences. This was to buy this ticket sent by the Pope. And if you bought it, you would get forgiveness of sins. They got this monk called John Tetzel, and he was chosen to go out and to sell these indulgences throughout Europe. They said he was the man for the job. And here's why. They said he had a voice like a town crier. And he would enter into a town with a great possession. And he cried out to the people that they were to come and to buy these indulgences. And if you buy these tickets, you'll get forgiveness, listen, of all your sins. Just buy these tickets. And it tells us that he carried this great red cross. And someone walked before him with a papal bull from the Pope, the authority of the Pope, to show the people that this was supposed to be true. Others helped them. Some went and they beat this drum. And this man came into different towns and different villages, and he shouted and he preached to come, and buy these tickets, these indulgences, and you'll get forgiveness of sins. Now, could you imagine what was happening? Could you imagine him coming into a little village here, say, of Analong, this man coming, great crowd of people, carrying a big red cross, calling on the people to buy these things. Here's some of the things this man was saying. And he talked about the cross that he was carrying. This cross has much efficiency as the very cross of Christ. And he said, I have saved more souls by my indulgences than the apostle did by his sermons. He says, the Lord our God no longer reigns. He has resigned all power to the Pope. Now, could you imagine what was happening? Could you see this man coming to before the people, carrying his cross, the sounding of the drum, the cry of his voice, come buy these things. And you'll get forgiveness of sins. Now remember, all this was being done with the blessing of the Pope. But you know, God had his man raised up at that time. It was a man called Martin Luther. Martin Luther was held by the slavery and darkness of the Church of Rome. He was trying one time to buy salvation or to work for his salvation himself. But he found a tremendous truth that you couldn't buy it. You couldn't work for it, as we sought to show the boys and girls here this morning. That you received this salvation through faith in Christ. and in Christ alone. And he said, by the help of God, I will make a hole in his drum. And so he came into battle with this man, Tetzel, and he put up the 95 theses upon the door of the Church of Rome. The battle began. Luther versus the Pope. Truth versus error. And we thank God today for the ministry and the work and life of men like Martin Luther. Through their efforts, through their preaching, listen, through their stand, friends, a glorious light shone right throughout Europe, even into our beloved province here. Multitudes were saved, brought to the light of the gospel that is found in Jesus Christ. Indeed, we would say the Reformation brought people back to the Bible, back to this book that you and I hold today. Now, one of the great truths, of course, uncovered was about the forgiveness of sins. Remember, this man was saying, well, you just have to buy these indulgences and you'll get forgiveness of sins. Remember, of course, Rome was teaching to get forgiveness of sins. We'll see in a moment about the confessional box. You had to come to there. Well, thank God for the great truth we have here, brought before us again during the times of Reformation preaching. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I want to say two things here from our text. I want to think, first of all, about a confession of sin. It says, if we confess our sin. Now, in the Roman Catholic Church, even to this day, they have the confessional box. This is a place where the Roman Catholic priest will sit, and the penitent speaks to him, either through a little window or the priest is behind a curtain. This is the official teaching, of course, of the Church of Rome, even to this day. One of their catechisms, here's what they say. Confession is the telling of our sins to an authorized priest for the purpose of obtaining forgiveness. In a book written for non-Catholics, here's what it says. The priest does not have to ask God to forgive your sins. The priest himself has the power to do so in Christ's name. Your sins are forgiven by the priest, the same as if you knelt before Jesus Christ and told them to Christ himself. And so notice here, friends, they're saying here to get forgiveness, you just have to confess your sins to the priest. Just come into the confessional box. Just tell him your sins. Make your confession to the priest. That's what they were teaching in the times of Reformation. Even to this very, very day, friends, they're still teaching it. I came across an article the other day. Pope Francis, here's what he says. Even I go to confession every 15 days. He goes as well. And so they're told to come into this box and to confess their sins. And they must confess all their sins. And they must tell everything about themselves and make a full and an honest confession unto the priests. And it even tells us that even Roman Catholics are told that they are to come and enter this confessional box before the age of 7. You have to come to make your first confession. As one once said, if you get a child before 7, give me a child of 7, and it's mine for life. And so they're told to come into this confessional box. And friends, they are told to make a confession and to confess their sins unto a priest. I read also about the interrogation that a priest would do with some ladies. I'm not saying they all do it, of course. They asked him very, very intimate questions. One particular lady said, I would rather take a whipping any day than go to confession. And you can see here in the Church of Rome, in the days of Luther, listen, we're talking about getting the forgiveness of sins, buy the tickets. But oh no, they had another way, of course, as well. Come into the confessional box. Come in and tell them all about your life. Confess your sins unto the priest. And make this full, full confession. And that's a teaching I would even say today to the Church of Rome. But granted, a lot of them don't go to confessions today if you ask them. And rightly so, of course. But nevertheless, the teaching is still there. To get forgiveness of sins, you better get into this box. Come to the confessional box. But here in the Bible, and here we read Apostle John, he talks about the confession of sin. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Reformation brought us back to the Bible. And it brought us back to the truth of the Word of God. And here we talk about confessing our sin. First of all, to confess my sin, I must acknowledge that I have sinned against the Lord. Why would I ever confess? Why would I ever want my sins forgiven if I thought within my heart, within my life, that I had no sin? But the very fact that we confess our sins shows we acknowledge that we have sinned. Think of the words of the psalmist. Psalm 32, verse 5. Here's what he said. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, here's what he said. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. But notice here. Why was he confessing? Why was this man coming before the Lord? He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. He acknowledged his sin. He had fallen. He had sinned against the Lord. God, by his Holy Spirit, had showed his sin to him. And he's confessing. He's down before the Lord. He said, Lord, I confess my sin to you. I'm not going to any priest. I ain't going, Lord, into any confessional box. No. I'm going to the Lord. I want to tell you, friends, this is true confession. You acknowledge your sin and you bring it to God. Do you feel your sin within your heart here this morning in this meeting? Are you burdened down and troubled about your sin and your word and your thoughts and your deeds? I hope there's just none amongst the congregation this morning like the people mentioned in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, verse 10 again, if we say we have not sinned, and there are people you meet sometimes and they look at you right in the eye and they say, well, I don't sin. I do nothing wrong. The Bible says if you say we have no sin or not sinned, you're a liar. And so to make this confession of sin, I confess in my sin. I acknowledge before God that I have sinned against him. And that's what I did in my life, friends, and many in this meeting. I wonder, have you made this confession to the Lord? And confessing that you have many sins. Notice that we confess our sins, not just sin. You couldn't count them. You could not count your sin. David says there were more than the hairs of mine head. He couldn't count them. They were great, my friends, in number. He couldn't number his sins that he had committed against the Lord. And so when we come to make confession, I have to confess. I have to be honest before God. I have many sins. And dear friends, so have you. And you confess that before God. I'm just not a little sinner. Listen, that's not true. You couldn't count your sins. We're all great sinners. I know some people's worse than others, but I'm making my confession of sin, that my sin is polluted. I have sinned against a holy God. I am unclean in his sight. I'm confessing before God. I need his mercy. I'm under your wrath. They know they are in trouble. Why would you seek God for his mercy? Why would you confess your sins if you did not fully understand you're in trouble? In trouble with God. And that is true. Ezekiel 18 verse 20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. In trouble, my friends, with God and under his wrath and deserving of his mercy. And so we're confessing, Lord, I'm lost. I'm in my sin. I'm far away from thee. I have sinned against thee. I deserve your punishment. And dear friends, this is true confession. Lord, I'm lost without you. And you know, I want to say that's true of all. That is true of all people. What are your background? Why are you Catholic? Why are you Protestant? I meet the Roman Catholics in my outreach ministry, and even last week, I said a number of them were lost, and they said we all are, and they acknowledge that. And you're lost, and you'll be lost for all eternity. And we're making this confession unto God. And we're confessing that pardon comes from God, and comes from God alone. Because our text says here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We go to God. We go to this one who's referred to as the He. The teaching of the Church of Rome was and is, of course, confess to the priest. Come into the box. But dear friends, here's a great truth of the Reformation. And from the Bible, I don't need any priest. You don't need any confessional box. All you need is Christ. All you need is Him. And I'm glad the times I get opportunity of talking to Roman Catholics in my work and bring them to these truths. We don't need these things. We don't need them. You don't need the priest. You don't need the confessional box. And 1 John 2 and verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And we make our confession, and we make an honest confession unto the Lord. I was told one time by a professing Christian who was a Roman Catholic. He told me we want confessions. Here's what he said. One of the first things he told the priest was this. Was a lie. Was a lie. I just how be it. He says, because the priest, when you went into the confessional box, he asked you, when was the last time you were here? Well, you weren't there at all. You were there for months and months and months and months. And he says, so the first thing I told him was, that could be 3 months ago. Whatever it was. And he says, the first thing I told him was a lie. Do you see the hypocrisy of all of these things, friends? Oh no, a true confession. I'm down before God. I'm honest before the Lord. I'm coming to Him. I'm looking to Christ. I'm trusting in the blood. The one who died upon the cross. The one who shed His blood. I'm trusting Christ and Christ only. And so it is a confession of sin here. What a contrast, isn't it? What a contrast there is, friends, in the confession of our sin. We're not going to any confessional box today. Thank God for that. We're not going to any priest who needs to go himself. We go to Christ. And so we have here the confessing of sin. Have you confessed your sin? Have you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Dear friend, these are great truths. I rediscovered the Reformation. Thank God there's still been priests to proclaim from this pulpit. And long may it be here at the bottom of the mountains of Mourne, the stand of the Word of God and these great doctrinal Reformed teachings that has been rediscovered in the times of Reformation. We're preaching the Scriptures of truth and we're pointing people to Christ. And they come to Christ alone for forgiveness of sins. Then I want to look about the contrast here in the results of the confession. Let's go to the confessional box of Rome and see what's the results. Well, here's what they tell us. When the Roman Catholic priest has heard a confession of the one before him, here's the words he said, I absolve thee, you, from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he tells a person, now it doesn't matter what sin it is, and I would say they have heard some corruption in their ears in the confessional box. But it doesn't matter what it is. He says, I absolve thee. I do it. No, it doesn't matter about this and this. I'm telling you, your sins are gone. I have forgiven you. Dear friends, that's hypocrisy. That's a lie. That is a lie. If you come and tell me your sins, I have no power to take away your sin. Not a bit. Or Mr. Harris Eller, the minister of this church. We cannot take away your sin. We cannot forgive you your sin. You have to go to God. As it says there in Mark 2, verse 7, though it was said by the enemies of Christ, why does this man, speaking of Christ, thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And that is true. God only, Christ only, can take away your sin. We've got to go to him. There's a man called John Cornwell. He wrote a book. It's called The Dark Box. I very nearly hit a button the other day to buy it. I looked, I could have bought it. But I didn't. I may go back to get that book. And here's what he said. We were taught that sins which broke the Ten Commandments or the church's rules were mortal. In other words, these sins kill the soul and earn punishment in the eternal fires of hell. And he's saying, oh, we break the commandments and the laws of a church, we're going to hell. Unless, here's the unless, here's what this man said, remember. They were forgiven in the dark box. That's what he said. Unless these sins were forgiven. And he called the dark box, and he wrote a book called The Dark Box, and terrible things would be in that book. I have to confess that. What went on in the dark box? But he says, unless the sins were forgiven in the dark box, they're not forgiven. And dear friends, that's not true. But that's one of the results. The priest says, oh no, you're all right. And Catholics believe that. And they maybe have committed horrible crimes and out to go and think, I'm being forgiven. And another result, of course, from it is penance. They give them penance. Penance is a sacrament by which sins committed after baptism are forgiven through absolution of the priest. Now, they give three forms. There may be penance, prayer, fasting, or giving alms. So you may have to say a few Hail Marys. You may have to do a few good works to make satisfaction for your sins. And so that's what they do. Go, well, just say this so many times. And, well, just you do this and everything's going to be all right. That's one of the results of it. Another result of this, of course, is there's no conversion. They've never repented. They've never had a changed heart. They continue to live in sin. I came across words of an ex-priest, and he talked about ladies feeling nervous, coming to tell about their sins. He could say, I could see the perspiration just above the lips of many who confess. And here's what he said. Remember, he was a man in the box. He was a man placed in the box by Rome. He said the task became more difficult as week after week people returned confessing the same sins. You see, it never changed them. It never changed them. This was a testimony of this priest. They came back week after week after week telling them the same stories. Dear friends, you see, there's no conversion. There's no conversion in this sort of type of confession. And then, of course, the result of it, they had to go to purgatory. They had to go there to finish the punishment, torment of their sins. This is a teaching, of course, by Roman Catholicism to this day. They haven't changed, you know. They've changed their approach in different ways. Of course, such a confession, I had to say, it takes them to a lost eternity in hell. Because when they come to the end, friends, they find that they're still in their sin. And they find they've never been forgiven. That they're lost, and they're lost forever. This is a result of what takes place in the confessional box. And that's why we preach the gospel. And that's why we do missions, to point Roman Catholics, listen, not to a confessional box. To Christ. And to Christ alone. You don't need these things. Thank God we are brought up with the Bible. Thank God we have these truths brought before us. And some young people here, you've been taught them from your mother's knee. Oh dear friend, this is the result. The confessional box. But here, look at the result in this one. This is tremendous. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Dear friends, listen. If I confess my sins to Christ, he forgives me. Isn't that great? Were we not singing that tremendous hymn, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me. Wash me from my sin." And the Bible says here, if I confess my sin to Christ, that he will cleanse me, listen, from my sin and from all unrighteousness. He will forgive us our sins. And listen, and to cleanse us, we need to be washed. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood's been shed. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. He's the Savior. The fountain's open for sin and for uncleanness. And so we come to Christ. We confess our sins to Jesus Christ. And say, "Lord Jesus, wash me and take away my sin." And dear friends, here we have here, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, there's no need for penance. There's no need for purgatory. No such place, by the way, as purgatory. The Lord Jesus Christ has done all the work. Isn't that wonderful? A tremendous text is found in Hebrews 1 verse 3, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the Majesty of High on high. Notice here, Christ Jesus did something. He purged our sins. He died upon the cross. He made a great sacrifice, this once for all sacrifice for sin forever. Finished was his cry. And then what did he do? He sat down, friends. He didn't sit down in a confessional box. No, Lord, friends, down, dear friends, at the right hand of the throne of God. The work is finished. The work is finished. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice verse 7, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, listen, cleanses us from all sin. And these are great truths brought before us again, rediscovered again in the time of Reformation. The sent people to Christ. We point them to Christ. Think of John the Baptist. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Telling people to look to Christ and to trust Christ and to confess your sins to the Lord Jesus. Then you'll get forgiveness of sins. And I say that to everyone in the congregation this morning. Whatever your sin may be, maybe some awful sins. Sins that nobody else knows about or needs to know about. But here's a great truth. If you confess them, if you get repent from them and come to Christ, he will take them all away. It's wonderful to know our sins are forgiven. Martin Luther, he could not get peace with God. He tried fasting, prayer, whippings. He came time and time, the Bible says, to the door of heaven. And every time he came to the door of heaven was closed to him. He said, "I'm not doing enough. I'm going to make longer fasts, severe penance, numerous prayers." And so he increased the volume of all his works. And he came again and again to the door of heaven. And yet it was closed. One day he was very ill. And an aged monk came before him and he quoted these words to Martin Luther. "I believe in the forgiveness of sins." Luther uttered these words. The monk said, "You're not to believe merely in the forgiveness of David's sins or Peter's sins, but you must believe in the forgiveness of your sins." The decisive words to tell us were spoken. A ray of life penetrated into the heart of Luther. He saw the gospel in a great phrase, the forgiveness of sins, not the payment, friends, but the forgiveness, and in that hour, the principle of popery fell in the darkened soul of Martin Luther. His eyes were opened and he was saved, and he found out that through Christ and Christ alone that you are forgiven. And that is true today in this meeting. It is Christ and Christ alone. Are you glad today that you can confess your sins to the Lord Jesus? Are you burdened about your soul this morning? Is there someone in the meeting you're troubled about your sin, about your soul? And you wonder, how can I be saved? Well, you've heard. You've heard it. I hope you've heard it plainly. I hope you've heard it simply this morning. Turn, repent from your sin, and come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I've come to you with all my heart, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you, Lord, to wash you. You've told us here, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, I'm asking you, and I'm trusting you to take away my sin. And I'm asking you to save me. And dear friends, if you do that, the Lord Jesus will save you. Now, if I can help you, speak to you. You don't need me, of course. But if you want some more, maybe questions answered about these things, come and see me. It's important to be forgiven. It's important to be saved. You don't know, friends, what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Be in time. We sing that great hymn, be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you'll find no open gate. And your cry will be too late, friends. You've got to be in time. Listen, come to Christ. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. Would it be wonderful to walk out of this meeting this morning forgiven? Think of that man in the gospel, in the temple. He says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That'd be interesting. He walked home. He went down to the house. The Lord Jesus said he went home justified, forgiven, friends. And that's the way you can go home today. May God write his truth upon your heart today. Confess your sins, trust Christ, and he'll be your Savior and give you everlasting life. Let's close in a wee word of prayer. Pray indeed God has blessed his word to your hearts. The simple truths upon the hearts of all here, we thank you for them. And we're glad we have the truth, not because we're any better than Roman Catholics, we're not. But Lord, we've been brought into the truth by thy mercy. And we pray that we'll stand for it and proclaim it. We think of all the Roman Catholics we meet in our ministry. We think of the mission we're doing at the moment and surrounded with Roman Catholics. We pray you'll bring them in to hear the word of God and you'll bring them to Christ. We pray for people in this congregation who's not saved, that Lord, even this morning, they will be saved. Even not leave this meeting until they settle this matter about their sin, about their soul. Show them a danger they're in of going down to hell without Christ. But show them something of the love and mercy of the Lord Jesus. And may they come today and trust him. And I pray for thy blessing to be upon us. Take us our separate ways, Lord, and to our homes in safety. I pray in Jesus' great name. Amen.